listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to The Corbett Report. I'm your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, coming to you, as always, from the sunny climes of Western Japan here in December of 2024 with episode 470 of The Corbett Report podcast, Pokemon Go! Another conspiracy confirmed. You know what they say these days, right? The old joke. What's the difference between reality and conspiracy theory? About 6 months? Well, in this case, it's been about 8 years. But anyway, the truth has finally been revealed. What on earth am I talking about? Of course, I'm talking about everyone's favorite game, Pokemon Go. You remember Pokemon Go, right? That craze that swept the nation, internationally, really, back in those heady halcyon days of the summer of 2016.
Pokemon Go just came out, and everyone you know is probably playing it. More than that, every website is writing about it, every news network is broadcasting about it, and everyone is posting pictures of cute Pokemon on social media. But how? And why?
Jose, this is just blowing up. Everyone I know is talking about this.
Yeah, they're playing outside, they're going out to parks, they're playing with their families at home, they're doing it while driving, they're doing it while kayaking. This is huge, and here's why. Nintendo has finally figured out the formula to get video gamers off their couch, outside, and actually interacting with each other.
One of the reasons this game is so popular is because it's so interactive, and you can actually capture Pokemon right in front of you.
Finally, to go catch Pokemon, and at least our world version of it, is pretty awesome. I think all of us have always wanted to be a Pokemon master.
Yeah, it's just really immersive. Like I said, it gets you out here doing stuff, or just talk to a bunch of people on the path doing it.
Players say it's also forcing them to be more social outside of the game. This group had only been friends for 5 minutes when we ran into them, all meeting, trying to capture Pokemon characters.
So we started talking, and then they showed up, and then we started talking, and we were just like, hey, we all play Pokemon Go. It's a Pokemon right there, Pokemon right there. And that's how we became friends, Pokemon Go friends. That's just how it is.
Look at this. There's a Vaporeon that spawned right there, so everyone's running.
There's a what there?
Can you tell me you're recording?
There's a Vaporeon.
That's funny.
Oh my god.
Yes, that Pokemon Go. But in case somehow you managed to miss that phenomenon when it was sweeping the world back in 2016, let alone the 8 years it has continued to, I guess, be at least a game that exists, if not so much of a phenomenon, then let's go about collecting some information about this to bring everyone up to speed. And as the bastion of truthiness will inform us, Pokemon Go is a 2016 augmented reality mobile game, part of the Pokemon franchise developed and published by Niantic in collaboration with Nintendo and the Pokemon Company for iOS and Android devices. It uses mobile devices with GPS to locate, capture, train, and battle virtual Pokemon, which appear as if they are in the player's real-world location. The game is free to play. It uses a freemium business model combined with local advertising and supports online purchases for additional in-game items, as well as virtual and real-world events. The game launched with around 150 species of Pokemon, which had increased to around 870 by late 2024. Yay. Now, what's the old saying? If it's free, you're the product, right? That's what they say. And, I wonder what they could be selling with regards to this GPS location data. I wonder if we'll find out. Anyway, of course, we can find out more about Pokemon Go and the phenomenon that occurred when it was released in 2016 from this press release. I mean, this news article by Mr. or Miss or he, she, it, A.E. Osworth, with this strange queer your tech with fun accompanying graphic. I don't understand this at all, from some outlet called Geekery that it's something to do with Autostraddle. I don't know what any of this means, but anyway, here's the headline from 2016. Pokemon Go came out in the US. Let's catch 'em all. Yes, what a hard-hitting news article. Anyway, it starts by noting that Pokemon Go has been released. Finally, I guess there were people waiting with bated breath for this. And, you know, download it while you can. And then it explains the premise of Pokemon Go. You are a Pokemon trainer and a brand new professor, Professor Willow, who some seem to think is steamy, has asked you to carry around a Pokedex and to occasionally transfer some Pokemon to him for study. Same deal, different tree person. I don't know what any of this means. You even start by catching one of the traditional three, Squirtle, five ever for me. What's incredibly different is the Pokemon show up in our world. I caught the Squirtle standing on my laptop's keyboard, for example. You also gain Pokeballs by stopping at real landmarks and public art, a lot like Ingress. If you get an egg, you can use an incubator to hatch it after you walk a certain number of steps. There's no Pokecenters, and you have to use potions and revives to heal up your Pokemon after battle. And, exclamation mark, battling at the gyms are very different. When you get to level 5, you join a team, and teams battle for control over gyms. That part is more like Ingress than Pokemon. Here's the trailer. And then there's the link to the trailer. This is, honestly, I feel like I'm reading a foreign language here, and I guess I have officially reached old man status. If this was the 1980s, I'd be looking at the VCR and wondering how to make it stop blinking 12, 12, 12 at me, because I don't even know. And exclamation mark battling, is that a term? Or was that a typo? Or I don't even know. I don't know what any of this means. But hopefully, Brock will have plenty of footage of people playing or whatever. Whatever this looks like. Whatever strange AR nonsense is happening that has attracted so many people. But okay, so there was this game that was released that involved you taking your phone out and going out into the world and trying to catch Pokeballs or whatever. I don't know. I don't follow any of this, but people were excited about it. So what? People have fun lots of different ways. Why spoil it? I mean, no, of course. The conspiracy party poopers come along to poop the party once again. And here's that arch party pooper James Corbett from July of 2016. The CIA's Pokemon Go app is doing what the Patriot Act can't. And I set the scene with some of the information about different privacy issues that were taking place and going through the news wires at that time. But then I get into the game itself, talking about how incredibly popular the game was at that time. It topped the App Store's top grossing category within 24 hours of its release. It's been downloaded an estimated 7.5 million times in the U.S. alone, generating an estimated $1.6 million per day for Nintendo. In the first two trading days after the game's release, Nintendo's market value rose a staggering $7.5 billion. That's right, folks. This is not merely a game. It's a phenomenon. And I go on to talk about how the Pokemon Go game is prompting scores of people out into the streets to go chasing for wild Pokemon to capture. It's also prompting heists, violence, hoaxes, and hysteria. And I talk about, for example, the restaurants and businesses trying to cash in on their proximity to spots with lots of in-game activity. But also the robbers who are now using lures, which attract Pokemon to a certain spot, to lure gamers in to be mugged. One 19-year-old hunting for water Pokemon in a rural river ended up uncovering a dead body. Other such things, people getting fired from their jobs over the game, hoaxes about people being murdered while other people are filming themselves playing, whatever. A lot of craziness was happening, and again, if you lived through it, maybe you remember some of this craziness at the time. But, you know, there's just a couple of niggly details from the terms and conditions that maybe players should have some sort of awareness of. I know we all just automatically click agree to whatever license comes up when we're signing up for something, but well, how about this? Firstly, the app requires an excessive amount of permissions on a user's device, including the ability to read your contacts, find accounts on your device, and access your camera. The app even requires full access to a user's Google account, which it can then use to read your emails, send emails from your account, browse your Google Drive documents and photos, etc. But apparently that's just a mistake, and it will be corrected soon. Well, thanks. Secondly, the game's privacy policy contains such gems as, we may disclose any information about you or your authorized child that is in our possession or control to government or law enforcement officials or private parties. What could go wrong? But wait, it gets worse. The maker of the app, Niantic Labs. Never heard of them? That's because until last year, They were an internal startup of none other than Google, the NSA-linked Big Brother company. Even now, Google remains one of Niantic's major backers. Niantic was founded by John Hankey, who also founded Keyhole, Inc., the mapping company which was created with seed money from InQtel, the CIA's venture capital arm, which was eventually rolled into Google Maps. So yes, the Pokemon game currently taking the internet by storm and scooping up all their data, including activities, movements, and communications, was created by a CIA-linked businessman who gestated his company at Google. Feeling safe yet? And here's the kicker. As it turns out, yes, the big, bad, Big Brother spies of the NSA and the DHS and the CIA don't really need their Patriot Act powers. After all the powers that shouldn't be need to do is create a fun, shiny trinket for the people to play with, and they will literally pay for their own surveillance. All right, so that was my take on it, my hot take back in July of 2016. I think this is a deep state operation, guys. And there's plenty more. You can explore the different links here to your heart's content about Niantic, about the NSA-linked Big Brother Google, InQtel, how Keyhole was rolled into Google Maps. I will throw in the show notes a couple of articles. One from Pando: the CIA helped sell a mapping startup to Google. Now they won't tell us why. And this was from Yasha Levine back in 2015. He filed a FOIA request about information regarding the Google Keyhole CIA relationship, which he spells out this way. In November 2004, when Google started to become a hybrid military intelligence contractor, it acquired a tiny and little-known 3D mapping startup called Keyhole Inc. Google paid an undisclosed sum for the company, immediately absorbed it, and began turning its tech into what we now know as Google Earth. The acquisition would have gone unnoticed had it not been for one not-so-tiny detail. Keyhole Inc. was part-owned by the CIA and the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, earlier known as NEMA, I believe, a sister agency to the NSA. Keyhole Inc. also had one major client base, U.S. military and intelligence agencies. So he goes on to cite a press release announcing the investment in Keyhole from InQtel, the CIA venture capital firm, which said, immediately demonstrating the value of Keyhole's technology to the national security community, NEMA used the technology to support United States troops in Iraq. Within 2 weeks of InQtel's engagement with Keyhole, we implemented the technology to support our mission with the Pentagon. Within the Pentagon. And yes. So anyway, then Google acquires it and gets InQtel stock or money. There's a relationship that developed between InQtel and Google as a result of that acquisition. Anyway, so long story short, there are some questions about this. The most obvious question is, what prompted the acquisition? Did Google buy Keyhole and take on all its military contracts and NATSEC liabilities because it badly needed its 3D mapping technology? Or did Google see the acquisition as a convenient way of getting into the military contracting business? Was there any internal discussion in the company about the benefits and pitfalls of absorbing a startup so closely tied with the CIA and the Pentagon? Then there's the CIA perspective. Given Keyhole's close collaboration with active military and intelligence operations, how did the CIA approach the deal? Why Google? Did the agency have any concerns? Did it impose conditions on Google? Did it require Google to honor Keyhole's previous intel commitments as part of the deal? If so, what were those commitments? In other words, what deal did Google, now the biggest private surveillance operation on planet Earth, make with the CIA and the NSA, which run the largest government surveillance operations? And long story short, he filed a FOIA request for any and all information about any correspondence and internal documents that they had about that. And long story short, the response was, well, in accordance with blah, 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 executive order, yada, yada, the CIA can neither confirm nor deny the existence or non-existence of any such records because it would potentially interfere with national security. Right. So we're not going to tell you, essentially. Anyway, there is a relationship there between the CIA, Keyhole, the Pentagon, Google. It's all one big mess of surveillance. And out of that mess came not only Keyhole, but Niantic and its Pokemon Go game. And again, this is not conspiracy theory. Go to NianticLabs.com. Go to the About page. And you can read about how they're making reality better by using technology to lean into the reality of augmented reality, encouraging everyone to get outside and connect with the world around us. Yay. And in this, they talk about how from Google Earth to Pokemon Go, we've always been explorers. So their first 3D map launched in 2001. A small team of geospatially obsessed computer scientists, gamers, cartographers, and AI researchers created Keyhole. Originally conceived as a video game, Keyhole was Keyhole was a first-of-its-kind product that let users zoom into interactive 3D maps of the planet. Many people from the original Keyhole team still work with us at Niantic today. And then, oops, from Keyhole to Google Earth. 3 years later, Keyhole was acquired by Google and renamed Google Earth. And then led to Google Maps, Street View, and more. Niantic Labs is created. Bada bing, bada boom. Ingress changes the game, sets out on their own, and Pokemon Go emerges into the world. So it really is just a few hops, skips, and jumps from this Intel-connected military contractor, Incutel-invested CIA cutout to Google to Pokemon Go. Crazy. But hey, you know, conspiracy, you crazy people always talking about these connections as if they matter, whatever. It's just a game. Just relax. Well, I suppose you could have said that if you're a coincidence theorist and someone who likes to stick their head into their sands. At least you could have said that at the very least up until a few months ago. But, oh, guess what? Another conspiracy confirmed.
Pokemon Go players have unwittingly trained AI to navigate the world. So the company behind Pokemon Go is Niantic, is that correct? So what did Niantic announce exactly? And then we'll get into the more of the specifics.
Niantic announced something called a large geospatial model. This is a term that they coined. They explain in their blog post announcing this that that name is in direct reference to a large language model, which is the type of AI model that we talked about endlessly here over the past more than a year now. And what is the reference they're making there? A large language model, how does that work? You scrape tons and tons of text from the internet, usually without permission. And based on that data, you train an AI to kind of statistically assume what is the most likely next word in a sentence. And with enough data, that sounds like coherent English that can answer you on a whole range of subjects. A large geospatial model is basically trying to do the same thing for the physical world. Joe, sorry to put you on the spot, but there's maybe like a short paragraph in the story that you can read where like they give an analogy where he talks about a church.
Yeah, I've just found it. And I agree. I think this would be useful because I'm almost having trouble visualizing even what that would actually do. But I'll read out the section here. And it says, imagine yourself standing behind a church. Let us assume the closest local model has seen only the front entrance of that church, and thus it will not be able to tell you where you are. The model has never seen the back of that building, but on a global scale, we have a lot of churches, thousands of them, all captured by their respective local models at other places worldwide. No church is the same, but many share common characteristics, and LGM is a way to access that distributed knowledge. So basically it's like predicting what an area is going to be. How would you characterize it?
Yeah, exactly that. Like there is enough data about physical spaces in the model that the model would be able to predict how to navigate the space, right? It's like the thing that it made me think about is like when you're at a restaurant that you've never been to before and you need to go to the bathroom, right? It's like you don't know where the bathroom is, but you've been to enough restaurants to know that the bathroom is like not in the middle of the restaurant. It's somewhere off to the corner, to the edge of the restaurant, right? And it's like you're kind of training an AI model to do the same thing. So it hasn't seen this specific church, but it has seen enough churches to know that this is where the entrance would be or something like this.
Oh, oops, did we forget to tell you guys? Yeah, we're using your geospatial data to train AI to create these geospatial models of the world. But don't worry about that, guys. Have fun. Play this game. We're gamifying it. Where have I heard about that before? Anyway, yes, let's dive into this in some more detail. So as was being discussed on the 404 Media podcast there, yes, Niantic has talked about this. And so we were just on the about page of Niantic. Well, if you go to the front page of Niantic, it's going to be all over there talking about building a large geospatial model to achieve spatial intelligence. Which, of course, they frame, what if augmented reality could make us better? Could it nudge us off the couch for a Saturday in the park? Could it draw us into public space and into contact with neighbors we might never have met? We believe it can. Oh, how beautiful. But, by the way, we're building a geospatial AI model for perceiving the world. And if you want more info on that, they have this page up on it. Building a large geospatial model to achieve spatial intelligence. In which they've added an editor's note, since this caught some public attention. We use player-contributed scans of public real-world locations to help build our large geospatial model. This scanning feature is completely optional. People have to visit a specific publicly accessible location and click to scan. This allows Niantic to deliver new types of AR experiences for people to enjoy. Merely walking around playing your games does not train an AI model. So don't worry, guys. It's only when you're scanning things in the real world for us. But don't worry, we'll gamify the scans. Anyway, yes, at Niantic, we are pioneering the concept of a large geospatial model that will use large-scale machine learning to understand a scene and connect it to millions of other scenes globally. What is an LGM? Well, like an LLM, a large language model, large geospatial models will help computers perceive, comprehend, and navigate the physical world in a way that will seem equally advanced. And it goes on to talk about the different types of models that are available and how this works and what they're doing with it. So please do read through this at your leisure. But the English translation from an outlet like Forbes, sure, why not? Pokemon Go players are training AI models to see the world. Millions of Pokemon Go players who thought they were just playing a fun game might actually be helping to train AI models that can map the physical world. Niantic, the company behind Pokemon Go and other games, mobile games, released a blog post earlier this month describing how it's using 3D data collected in its games to create a large geospatial model. In the same way that large language models, such as those used to power ChatGPT, can accurately predict which words should come next in a sentence, so large geospatial models will be able to infer what buildings and other physical objects should look like, even if they only have photography of part of them. Anyway, again, please do read through all of this, talking about the potential applications of this type of technology, but I would hope that regular readers of the Corbett Report have in mind something like, oh, maybe my most recent newsletter, or one of my most recent newsletters on the drone wars, You Are Not Prepared, in which I talked about the drone swarms and the coming nature of warfare, militaries enabled by drone swarms that are using, I guess, geospatial models to navigate the world, including places they've never been, but in order to better comprehend how to navigate through, I don't know, urban warfare battlefield situations, right? Again, that's just crazy conspiracy theorizing. What evidence do you have for that? It's not like you have an example of one of the Niantic executives up on stage at a Bellingfest, Bellingcat open source conference, whatever, talking about this lovely LGM and someone questioning him in the crowd about potential military applications of this and him waffling on for minute after minute in an evasive non-answer, do ya?
My question is about LGMs. And I come from a slightly different perspective than I think most of the people in the room. If I was in the military, I would find those kind of maps unbelievably useful. And there's always been that connection between maps and the military, you know, Ordnance Survey, et cetera. To that end, could you see militaries, governments seeking to use LGMs and purchase them from you?
I could definitely see it. I think the question is, would there be anything that they would do with it that would be outside of what a consumer or a Bellingcat want to do with it either? If the use case is identical, then that seems completely fine. If the use case is like specific in military and, you know, adding amplitude to war, then that's obviously an issue. And to be honest, you know, Google felt this way, and you know this better than I did. But when I left, the policy was still we don't map active war regions. And I don't believe that's currently true, because I heard y'all talking about Ukraine imagery updates and that certainly would contradict that statement. But for a long time, once something went into active warfare, we stopped updating. And Iraq in particular, we definitely didn't update for a while in 2003 and 4. And so, you know, but you know, Google faces that today with imagery. And I guess you could argue that like Planet, you know, the advantage that we have today is that there are multiple sources of imagery. And so there's no one source that can either block you off or not. Because at least, you know, maybe Digital Globe will give it to you, or maybe they won't. Maybe Google's published it, maybe they haven't, but Planet's probably got it. And, you know, so I don't know. It's military is very hard. But I don't feel bad when they're doing exactly what everybody else does with the data. But if it's custom and amplifies the war, then I certainly do.
Did you catch that? Probably not, precisely because that was a minutes-long waffle of a non-answer. But just in case you didn't quite get the gist of that, let's just take a look at some reporting about that very those very set of comments that happened just a month ago in November. So we have this representative article, Niantic Exec Comments on Government's Buying Pokemon Go Data, which notes that the Pokemon Go Niantic Senior Vice President of Engineering, Brian McClendon, was speaking at this conference, and he was asked if it was foreseeable for governments and militaries to purchase the information from Niantic, to which he said, well, I could definitely see it. Dot, dot, dot. Well, you know, depending on the use case, if it's the same as a regular use case, sure, but if the use case is specific in the military and adding amplitude to war, then that's obviously an issue. Okay, well, obviously. But what does that even mean? Obviously an issue. Does that mean you won't sell it to militaries and governments in that case? Or you will? Maybe you already are. What is the nature of the relationship between Niantic and, say, the Incutel or the CIA or the National Geospatial Agency, etc.? Oh, wait, I bet you that's behind 18 levels of freedom of information denial. So maybe we'll never be able to see the open records on that. But I don't know. Crazy conspiracy theorists have been right about things in the past. For example, the gamification of everything. Yes, I made a knowing reference to this earlier, but in case you don't know the reference, it is to episode 145 of the Corbett Report podcast on You Are Being Gamed, which I hope you will refresh your memory or perhaps see it for the first time. And if so, pay special attention to the most disturbing presentation ever at 35 minutes and 21 seconds, where the presenter at DICE 2010 is talking about how you can gamify anything. You can make it into a fun game where you get points for whatever type of behavior a government or a corporation wants to incentivize, from brushing your teeth to getting corporate logos tattooed on your skin or whatever it is. They can incentivize it by making it into a game, and that'll be the gamification of the future. And here we are, where literally this game manufacturer who started out with this cool idea for a video game / augmented reality, and I don't just mean Pokemon Go in 2016, no, I mean going back to 2001 or whenever the Niantic story starts, talking from video game designers coming together to create what ultimately ended up becoming Google Earth by way of Keyhole and the Incutel CIA connection, and all of this crazy story. But yeah, it's all just a game, guys. And what could they possibly do? What could they possibly do with a game? I don't know, maybe incentivize people to visit certain places and take certain pictures? Nah, that would never happen. Well, that is something that the people who broke this story at 404 Media were talking about in their podcast. And interestingly, they gave a very, very interesting hypothetical example that totally isn't real, but just an example of the way that this type of gamification of human behavior could be utilized by someone with an interest in getting intelligence about the real world.
Yeah, so I edited this piece and I was like looking into this, and it's not super clear which specific things you know, Niantic is using for this specific product. But I will say that over the years, they have, I guess I just want to highlight that they like incentivize players to do this. It's like you get little rewards if you do it.
Right, it's like gamifying that type of collection.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, okay, this is not a real example, but in my mind, I'm just like, please go scan the nearest, like, nuclear silo. We put a Bulbasaur there so that we can, like, get images of this. And to be clear, that's not a real example, but it like, that's kind of the vibe where it's like, please go to your nearest monument or church and like hold your phone up to it and walk around it, get it from all angles, and like we will give you some Pokeballs for doing so.
Yeah, just the total hypothetical idea of, I don't know, people at a nuclear facility of some sort walking around playing Pokemon Go and inadvertently giving all this information to Niantic or whoever is buying or taking that information from Niantic. But that's totally hypothetical. Just something I made up, guys. It's not real. But maybe you'll remember my recent conversation with Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence, where he shared a little story about previous Corbett Report guest Bob Anderson.
Pokemon Go was a game on your phone, and you had these fictitious, you know, what do you call it, virtual reality characters that would go, and you have to go find them. And you would see, I saw, it was Davi Barker was in Washington, and they were at Arlington one evening, you know, just out in the graveyard doing rubbings or something. They were, some project they were doing. And had all these people walk around Blueface with their phones, and then they'd all in a crowd, and then they'd turn. And they go, what the hell is that? They were looking for Pokemon Go characters. Then Bob, when he was out at Palo Verde Nuclear Plant, people would be doing Pokemon Go in the plant. And the company had to go, you freaking morons, turn your damn phone off. Take the you can't have, you're too stupid to have phones in the nuke room anymore. You know, that kind of crap. So what they would do is anywhere they wanted to surveil, they just kind of hint of, there's these characters somewhere.
Hey, there's suddenly a Pikachu over here. Oh, my God.
Right. Behind the whatever the hell. You know, I'm just, this is, sometimes we're so stupid, you know.
But well, not we. In our defense, not we, but people.
Well, humanity.
For people who don't remember, Bob Anderson was a previous guest on Solutions Watch that I talked to, and he formerly worked at the Palo Verde nuclear plant. And so I reached out to Bob just to confirm that that story that Ernie was remembering off the top of his head was true, and he did confirm that he remembers something like that at the time. This was back when the game was new, and nobody really knew about what it was doing, and the way that the information was being sold, etc. And they had some company policies about not taking photos at the facilities, but apparently there weren't, at least at first, there weren't any actual policies about playing this game there, which people were apparently doing at the nuclear facility. So not so much of a hypothetical example, but anyway, I have no idea if that was related to any particular intelligence operation, but you get the idea. Multiply that times the millions of players all around the globe collecting this information to feed the AI daemon, as Elon Musk calls it, that we're conjuring into existence, with all of this data, giving it the eyes to see every bit of the world and to construct a map of the entire terrain of the globe. It is happening. It is happening right now, and it is happening under the guise of a children's game. Oh, you silly conspiracy theorists. You guys get worked up about everything. It's a conspiracy behind every corner, I tell you. And what's the difference between conspiracy theory and reality? Yeah, about 6 months. Here we are again. Another conspiracy confirmed. Anyway, I thought I would just put all of this on the plate for today so that we can at least be informed about what is going on. I would suspect that most people in the Corbett Report audience would probably already have their suspicious antenna raised around a phenomenon like this, but just in case you needed further verification and validation that you are correct to be suspicious of such things, here it is. And as always, there's going to be a ton of show notes in today's episode for you to go and explore this to your heart's content. But on that note, I think I'm going to leave it there for today. Thank you again for investing your time in the Corbett Report. I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again in the near future.